We're listening to some gorgeous new music from Lima, Peru, courtesy of Eric Foss and Corey Wong, who are in the studio with us right now from Secret Stash Records. I talked to Eric a few months ago on the show when you just got back from Lima and just kind of sorting out all your adventures and everything. And we're now on the cusp of this music coming out on CD.
Yeah, I mean, when we last spoke, we didn't really know what was going to come of all this, and we were a little scattered. There was, like, so much that we kind of fell into. It's just been, like, an intense 6 months of organizing it all, be it reissuing old Afro-Peruvian music or trying to do chicha stuff and funk stuff, and it's finally all straightening out, so...
Now, you were only down there for, like, 4 days or 5 days?
It was 7 days
total. 7 days.
But we were probably only tracking for 3 or 4 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have a pretty clear idea heading down there what you wanted to get in terms of recording new music? I mean, all these cuts on this Peña CD, which we're listening to right now. Corey, did you know, like, in advance what songs you were going to want to perform, or... did that kind of come together as you met musicians down there? And
a little of both. I had in mind like 20 of the most popular tunes in this genre and that sort of thing. I also, you know, through just listening to all the greats of this music, just found, okay, this is what I really like. These are the songs that I really enjoy listening to. These are the ones I'm going to want to play too. And then meeting other musicians down there, they had suggested different tunes, and some of them just, hey, well, I know this tune and I do it really well, so let's do this one. And it worked out to be great.
Now, you're known around town as being a jazz musician. What brought you to this wonderful Peruvian music, which a lot of us in the Twin Cities don't really know much about?
It's through my guitar mentor, a guy named Andres Prado, who is in town here. He was my guitar teacher for a few years, and he's from Lima, Peru. He is just a rock star in this music down there, and he introduced me to it, and I fell in love with it, and I've been playing it since then. So,
right. The CD's coming out when, Eric?
October 12th.
October 12th.
Yeah, the CD, and then there'll also be, like, digital downloads available and that type of thing.
Which no vinyl this time? You guys are known for your vinyl, fancy vinyl.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. It's been a struggle for us to kind of go ahead and admit and deal with the fact that we're doing the CD release, but this is a project that needs to be on CD so that it's accessible to more people. And also, it comes with a documentary DVD, and that just packages well with the CD.
Right.
So. But yeah, October 12th is the big day.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a short break here and come back with more music from Peña out of Lima, Peru.
Programming on KFAI is sponsored by the Walker Art Center, presenting Ralph Lemon's How Can You Stay in the House All Day and Not Go Anywhere, September 23rd through the 25th.
Inspired by his close relationship with a Mississippi Delta sharecropper, Lemon's work explores the complexities of impermanence and time, merging text, media, sound, and visual art with dance.
More information available at walkerart.org.
We're listening to tracks from a forthcoming CD called Pena, coming out on Secret Stash Records next month. And we're here with Corey Wong and Eric Foss from Secret Stash, who are the men behind this record. And it seems incredible that you guys pulled this off in such a short amount of time and everything. How did you set up the whole recording of this album?
Well, before going down there, the only contact I really had was Andres Prado. And we went down just with a leap of faith that we're going to run into a lot of musicians. We're going to go out every night and meet musicians in clubs and on the streets and everywhere, you know, just network with as many people as we can and just tell them about the project and see if they'd be interested in recording. We met at least 15 musicians while we were down there and recorded over 50 tracks, 50 tunes down there. And we didn't have a studio set up or anything. We didn't go down there with a studio in mind where we could have our ideal setup. It was just, we go down there and we'll find a place to record. We'll set up a time to record, and you know what? We'll tell you where we're going to record. We'll figure it out. So some of the recordings were in like an auditorium or in a classroom at an elementary school, classroom at a college, in somebody's living room. We did a bunch of recordings on the stoop of the hostel that we were staying at. So just kind of everywhere around town, just all over the city of Lima, recording in these different places and a bunch of different musicians. It was really great, really, really fun experience.
Yeah, and we had to bring our own recording gear, fly down to Lima with a bunch of bags just stuffed full of gear.
Must have been backbreaking.
Oh my gosh. So every day we'd wake up and just like, all right, where are we going today? And we would just zigzag across Lima for like 16 hours just lugging this stuff around.
Yeah, carrying all the gear around, finding places to set up. The other thing was our power situation, having clean power that wasn't going to fail on us for all the gear.
Yeah.
You know, so it was quite an experience, but it was fun. It all worked out and got some really great recordings.
And then with carrying all that gear, like, it was expensive equipment. Like, it's decent recording gear. And we went into the barrio a few times, like, into some places where tourists probably don't usually go. So it's like, oh, man, we're walking around with, like, $10,000 worth of gear hanging off of us. We don't know a single person, and it's kind of scary over here, but... Yeah. Everyone was just awesome. We never had any problems.
It's amazing to me with those types of recording conditions, just doing it on the fly like that. You were able to get such a consistent sound through the whole record. You were really able to capture this music. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what styles of music we heard and that are on the record, and you know, a little bit more about Afro-Peruvian music.
Well, the three main styles we really captured with this record are the festejo, which is a celebration song. It's faster, a 12-8 feel. The other type of song is a little bit of a slower, more minor, I kind of want to say bluesy, but don't really want to say bluesier sounding, minor sounding song type called the landó, which is a slower 6-4. And then there's also the vals, which is just like a waltz, a Peruvian waltz, in three. And a lot of singers sing that kind of stuff down there.
So. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that kind of popped up in my mind when I first heard this stuff was, you know, I don't know if it's related to flamenco at all, but that's what it kind of, you know, my first impression was there's a little bit of that in this music.
Well, it comes in some ways from Spanish traditions because there's a lot of Spanish heritage, I guess, down in Peru, and Spanish guitar roots within a lot of this music, and same with flamenco. So,
great.
Yeah, I mean, quite literally, it's just the music of the black slave culture in Peru from the mid 1500s. They were brought over by the conquistadors in 1521, and they weren't allowed to play or own any instruments, and because of that. It was in an effort to, like, you know, break the slaves. And because of that, this dance started called the Zapateo. And the Zapateo is, it's maybe at a glance, it kind of reminds you of flamenco dancing, but we found it to be...
totally different.
Yeah, much different. And it's lots of really precision tapping and stomping. And the dance itself kind of became music. So it was like, all right, we don't have any instruments. Well, they start making music solely in the dance itself. And then that kind of led to the idea of the creation of the cajon, which is the box drum, which you hear on most of these recordings. It's kind of like the most identifiable part of Afro-Peruvian music for most people. And it's just literally a big wooden box. The word cajon means large box. It's a big wooden box you sit on top of and smack with your hands. And so when you say, like, you hear this flamenco type thing, all it was these guys from Africa taking what they knew and African rhythms and that sort of thing and just literally combining it with, like, the Spanish music that was around them. And there's a little bit of Andean influence, especially in the more traditional stuff. But
Yeah, I can hear that a little bit. Mm-hmm. The name of the CD is Peña, and it's in stores on October 10th.
October 12th.
October 12th.
Yep.
And I believe there's going to be a release party later in the month.
There is. We'll be over at the Cedar Cultural Center. Corey has assembled a live ensemble that will play the music from this record and probably a few other tunes on October 29th at the Cedar.
Who are you going to be drawing upon to fill out the musicians for that event, Corey?
Well, the main musical directors of this are myself and a Peruvian percussionist named Chico Chavez. It'll be us two. There's going to be a bass player, Andy Schuster, a singer named Geraldine, and Chris Olson is another guitar player in town, good friend of mine who's going to be playing guitar with me also. And we're going to have a couple other percussionists and vocalists too. So it should be a big band. It should be a fun band.
That's great. Well, thanks, Corey. Thanks, Eric. Name of the CD again, Peña. I'm Brad Ralsett. This is Global Beat. We got lots more music to come.